Do you feel it? The weight of a broken world? The ache of souls searching for something more? The silence after suffering? Or the chaos, the fear, the darkness closing in? Sin still enslaves. Darkness still deceives. Death still lingers. But Jesus' story, it was never about defeat. Hope, buried. The Messiah, mocked. The King, laid in a tomb. The world thought it was over. For 3 days, there was silence. There was sorrow. For 3 days, the enemy thought he had won. But what hell didn't understand was that the promise was about to be fulfilled. Because the cross wasn't a mistake, it was a gift. The grave wasn't the final word, it was the beginning of the next chapter. On the third day, the stone was rolled away. Light broke through the darkness, and the earth shook at the power in his victory. Death has lost. The grave is empty. Jesus conquered sin. And our message is Jesus. Not just in our church, not just in our song, not just in our sermon, but in how we live our lives, in how we love others, in how we shine light into a dark world. Because the resurrection isn't just a story, isn't just history. It's power, it's purpose, it's our calling. And now we declare, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If the grave couldn't hold him down, then sin can't hold us down. If Jesus is alive, then the world needs to know that Jesus is the Lord. So church, rise up and go share his story with the world, because Jesus is our message.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. He is risen. Stand to your feet. He is risen. Come on, church. Let's give him a big hand for the Lord in front of the dead. Say, Jesus. Amen. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Listen, it's true. He rose from the dead. The Bible is true. Our life and security in heaven is for real. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on, church. Come on, church. Want to welcome everybody watching online, all the campuses, all the people in the cafeteria and overflow, and hopefully the people outside can hear us, the speakers outside. Hopefully God bless y'all. My name is Miles. If you're a visitor, I'm the pastor of the Rock. We are 25 years old. I started at Montezuma Hall, San Diego State, 25 years ago. Before that, I was a youth pastor. Before that, I was playing with the Chargers, using cocaine. For 2 years, my first 2 years of playing football, I was using cocaine, smoking weed, chasing women, living wild. And then one of my teammates shared the gospel with me on the team plane. I was actually using cocaine in the bathroom of the team plane. He shared the gospel with me on the plane. A few months later, I was laying on my couch. I'd been doing cocaine all night and asked Christ to be my savior, stop doing cocaine. And one day, called my girlfriend up, said, hey, can we try this one more time? She came over. We've been married 40 years. Amen. God bless you. Reason I tell you that story is that this is all about redemption. This is all about God transforming people's lives. I wasn't born a pastor. I was born a knucklehead, a sinner, just like everybody else. And God snatched me out of that because I said, Lord, save me. And we want to give you that opportunity. There was a little boy named Troy. He used to walk to school by this park. And in the park was a little old man with a little hat, little cane, and a little woman. And he was feeding the pigeons. And every day Troy would walk by this man, he would see him in the park, and he would tell him about his life. He'd start bragging about how much money he had. And one day he said, hey, Mr. Old Man, I'm Troy. I'm in 11th grade. I got all this money. When I got out of high school, I don't even need to work. And the old man said, what would it profit you if you gained the world and lost your soul? And Troy said, oh, you're just jealous because you ain't got no money. And he walked away. Came back next day, he said, hey, old man, we had a party last night. We were partying all night. What did you do last night? He said, Troy, even when you're laughing and having a good time, your heart could be empty. And he said, oh, you're just jealous because you weren't invited. And he walked away. Came back next day and he started getting tired of this old man telling him to read his Bible, go to school, don't do drugs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he had seen a little bird that had fallen on the ground. The bird was still alive and he put it behind his back. He said, I'm gonna ask the old man, is the bird dead or alive? If the old man says the bird is dead, I'm gonna show him it's alive. If the old man says the bird is alive, I'm gonna crush the bird in my hand behind my back and kill it and show him it's dead. So I got him. He ain't gonna get out of this one. And so he went up to the old man. He said, hey, old man, you think you're so smart. Tell me about my life. Tell me about how I should live my life, treat women, et cetera, et cetera. I got a bird in my hand behind my back. Is it dead or alive? And the old man didn't say anything. He said, oh man, I got a bird in my hand behind my back. Is it dead or alive? And he didn't say anything. He said, oh man, I'm gonna ask you one more time. If you don't answer my question, I'm gonna smack you upside your bald head. Is this bird in my hand behind my back dead or alive? And the old man was just ignoring him, feeding pigeons, and he looks up, he says, hey Troy, whether that bird is dead or alive, whether that bird will ever fly again, the answer to life and death for that bird is in your hand. All your lives are in your hand. Can't blame anybody else, can't blame the government, can't blame your parents, can't blame your neighborhood. At the end of the day, when you die, Jesus is gonna ask you one question. What'd you do with my son? God's gonna ask you, what did you do with my son? And we wanna give you an opportunity to make that right decision, because you're either gonna snuff your life out or you're gonna let yourself live, amen? Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray for clarity, that we would hear you clearly and convincingly, that you are the only way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Give someone a high five, give someone a high five, amen. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Recently, I read a book called The One Thing. Everyone say one thing. And the book is very simple. It suggested that there are like one thing you can do in every area of your life that is more important than everything else. And if you did this one thing, it would impact positively or negatively everything else. How many of y'all are married? Raise your hand if you're married. Can you think of one thing you would want your spouse to do or stop doing? All the ladies say, hey. You would tell your husband, you know, put the seat down. Or fellas, you would tell your wife, maybe you have 50 things for your wife, okay? But what is the one thing? Stop talking. My wife would tell me, be patient. Don't be so loud. Stop eating all the food in the house. But imagine how different your life would be if you stopped eating after 6 o'clock. A lot of y'all are working out, you're not getting in shape because you can never outwork a bad diet. Newsflash, this is fact. You will not get a six-pack eating a six-pack. It's gonna be your diet. What if you fasted one day a week? Dinner to dinner, all water. I try to do that every week. One day, all water. It will clean out your cancer cells, by the way. Especially if you could do 3 days all water, it'll clean out your cancer cells. Your body feeds on itself when you fast. What if you could read the Bible every day? How much your life would change. What if you planned every day before your day? The night before, tonight, you plan Monday. Put your clothes out, made a list of things you're gonna do, and you may not say you're a list person, become a list person. And plan your day instead of waking up trying to figure out what you're gonna do. If there are lots of one things you can do in every area of your life that will make a big difference over everything else. And all of you, if you think about it, it wouldn't take long to think about it. There's probably one thing, probably five things, If you said, God wants me to stop doing this. Man, if you stop doing that one thing, oh, how many blessings would flow in your life? There's a lot of chatter online and in culture about, did Jesus ever say he was God? And you see these people say, he never said he was God, he never said he was God. And my response to that is multiple, but one of them, my responses to that is that if he said he was God, you wouldn't believe him anyway. So what Jesus did, by the way, he said he was God in multiple ways and multiple times. When we go through our series on apologetics, we're probably gonna spend a month just on that question. But what he did, more importantly, he showed he was God. So think about, what would be the one thing that he could do to prove that he was God? Rise from the dead. Come on, somebody. Rise from the dead, amen. Because if someone says they're gonna rise from the dead and they do it, listen, when I was a kid, we used to watch Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee was like our big hero, and in 1975, I believe he died, and we all tried to imitate him, you know, trying to kick the ceiling, which we did, and, you know, doing all these little wannabe martial arts experts that we were. But when Bruce Lee died, there was a rumor that he was gonna rise from the dead in 10 years. And we're like, man, if anybody can rise from the dead, it's Bruce Lee. 10 years went by, that brother's still dead, okay? But Jesus rose from the dead. So if Jesus rose from the dead, by the way, it's a historical fact that he rose from the dead. If you go to Jerusalem today, his tomb is empty. They knew where he was buried. It wasn't a mystery. He died on the cross there, and he was buried right there. It was only like 300, 400 feet away. It wasn't a mystery where he was born. So if the rumor was out that he rose from the dead, all you had to do was go to the tomb where he was buried, which was right there, and prove that he was there. But he wasn't. So it's a historical fact, undeniable, that he rose from the dead. That's a big deal. So if he rose from the dead, I would assume everything else that he's ever said is true. Because if he can keep that promise, he can keep all the other promises. So we're gonna look at five promises that he made, statements that he made, and we're gonna realize that these things are fact. That means that the opposite is false. Because it can't be fact and false at the same time. That violates the law of non-contradiction. You can't say something is and isn't at the same time. That defies logic. So everything Jesus said is fact. That means everything that contradicts Jesus is false. Let's look at what he said. Number one, Mark 9:31. It says, he taught his disciples and said, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. After he is killed, he will rise on the third day. Everyone say rise on the third day? That's what we're here for. What did he do? Matthew 28:6. They came to the tomb. The angel said, he is not here. He is risen as he said. Everyone say as he said. And then it says, come see the place. Listen, just so you don't think I'm just telling you a lie, come check it out. They didn't want there to be any mystery. Then John 2:22, what does his disciples remember? Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which he had said. It's undeniable. Five things. Now, you really have to go back to everything Jesus ever said. Everything he represented and say, it is fact. You can argue all you want, but no matter what point you're arguing, there is nobody on your side of the argument that could disprove the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and there's nobody on your side of the argument that actually rose from the dead and has as much credibility as our Savior who rose from the dead. Five things. Number one, Jesus said he would die for sinners. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. Jesus said, I am coming to die for you because you don't want to die for yourself. There is no other way you can be forgiven except that I die for you. Why? Because the penalty of your sin is death. So either you pay for your sin by suffering in eternity in hell away from God, which I don't want you to do. This is Jesus saying that. I'm saying it too. So in order to give you opportunity not to die, go to hell, I'm gonna die for you. That is the reason I'm dying. I'm not dying because I ain't got nothing to do. I'm not dying because I think it'll be pleasurable, it'll be fun. No. I'm dying because you need me to. Number two, Jesus said he would provide access to the Father. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. Everyone say the way. I am the truth, say the truth. I am the life, say the life. No one, say no one. Do this, give me this, say no one. My granddaughter who's sitting there, she just turned two 3 days ago, and her brother was gonna hug her and said, give me a hug. And she went, nope. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. This is what he's saying. You can't get there through Buddha. You can't get there through Muhammad. We're gonna do a whole series on all that, those religions and talk about all that stuff. You can't get there through Confucius. You can't get there through coming to church just on Easter. Oh. And the reason I want to tell you that is because I don't want you to think that this is like a key to heaven. We have it every week, and every day we walk with God. You can't get there by just giving a lot of money. You give a lot of money because, Lord, I thank you and honor you for what you've given me, and I'm not paying you back. I am giving back what belongs to you. And I trust that you're going to continue to bless me. And so we don't buy those things. And so he says, only access is me. There was a guy, a cop, who was driving, chasing someone to, they were driving south on the 5 freeway south to Tijuana. And the cop stopped the guy, and he said, driver's license and registration. And then the cop asked the guy, where are you going? He's driving, you know, 90 miles an hour south on the 5, right before he gets to the border. He says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to L.A. Bro, you're going in the wrong direction. So if you're trying to get to heaven by any other way than Jesus, you're going in the wrong direction. That's based on what Jesus said. So number three, he said, Jesus said that he would forgive our sin if we would repent. If you repent and say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I lay down my life. I realize that I can't cleanse myself. I realize I can't deserve it. I just need you to forgive me. Here's a trick. In order for you to be forgiven, you gotta forgive. You may have a grudge against somebody and you're saying, man, I can't stand her. He can't stand him. He think all that. And then you hear what they said. And then, hey, dear God, can you hook brother? He's like, hada, 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 hada. What about that? If I forgive you, you have to take that forgiveness and forgive them. Because you can't take the forgiveness I'm going to give you and just rub it on like lotion and just think you smell all good, and that's it. It's I give you, just as I loved you, you love someone else. Just as I forgive you, you have to forgive others. God is requiring us to do for others what he does for us. Look, the Bible says in Mark 2:10, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, rise up, take your bed, and walk. Jesus told this paralytic who was lowered from the roof that he forgave his sins, and the Pharisee says, who can forgive sin but God alone? Exactly. Jesus did the things that only God can do. He forgave people. He raised people from the dead. He gave life. He's going to be the God of judgment. The Bible says that the Father judges no one but gave all judgment to the Son, that we would honor / worship the Son as we honor / worship the Father. Isaiah tells us that God shares his glory with nobody. So Jesus says, you honor the Son, Father, you honor me. We're one and the same. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are so united that we are inseparable. He's God, and he rose from the dead. Number four, Jesus said he would give you abundant life. There are a lot of self-help books out there about how to live a fulfilled life. You do this, you do my 6-week program, you can make $50,000 a month, and you can get this car and this boat and get all these honeys and, you know, have vacations and et cetera. You think that's going to make you happy? For a little while. One of the ways you know something is sin is that it always brings death. And for all of y'all who are druggies, y'all just came from TJ this morning. Your 4-inch pumps broke at the border, and you came hobbling over. Hey, I got to go to church. And the Border Patrol, yeah, you look like you need a church. They'll let you through, okay? Here's how you know your lifestyle. Whatever it is. Here's how, I'm telling from personal experience. When you sin, death results. Even when you get high, you get high and then you drop. And you try to get high again, the second high is never as good as the first high. Because in your brain cannot uptake the chemicals and release the dopamine. Dopamine is a drug that God gave you anyway to make you feel happy. And the drugs tell your brain to release the dopamine that you already have. It's all a scam. And the reason you have your first high is the best high because you've got a big resource of dopamine. The second time you take a drug, there's no more dopamine left, so you don't have a little bump. That's why that happens. For all you druggies are going, oh, snap, I do that last night. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The abundant life. Look what the Bible says, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come they may have life. And they may have life more abundantly. There's an old fable from India about a mouse. And this mouse will come out and run around the alley looking for crumbs and garbage to eat. And every day, the mouse would get chased by a cat. And he had to run back into his hole and tell all the other mice, hey, you can't go out there. The cat's out there. Now, I'm a cat guy. I like dogs, but we had cats growing up, and we had a cat named Chubby when I was growing up. This cat, he named Chubby from birth. I mean, he grew to be this big, about that big. This is a house cat. I'm exaggerating, but he was about that big. Oh, he was about that big. And Chubby really, he didn't live with us. He kind of like rented space. Like he would come just every week. He would just walk in with scabs and his ear hanging off and a mouse. And this is a true story. My sister will tell you. She said he would, his ears hanging off and scabs, and he would have a mouse in his mouth, and he'd just come in the house, you know, just and he just, you know, lay there for, you know, a week and not eat. And then we'll leave. He would leave. Chubby was he would walk across the street, and he would walk really slow. And if a car came, he would stop in the middle of the street and look at the car and lay on the ground. Like, what's up? You ain't it. So that was our cat. So this mouse is running around and Chubby's chasing him. So the mouse runs into a genie and he says to the genie, "Hey genie, can you grant me a wish?" He goes, "You got one wish. What do you want?" "Listen, every day I go out and try to get the garbage, a mouse, this cat keeps chasing me. Can you turn me into a cat?" So it's cool. Poof, he's a cat. Now the mouse is walking around. "What's up, Chubby?" And he's walking around the alley hanging out with the cats. And then all of a sudden, the dog starts chasing him. And he runs up and climbs a tree, and the genie appears in the tree. He says, "Hey, Mr. Genie, I got a problem. I know you made me a cat. I used to be a mouse. But can you make me a dog? Because now that I'm a cat, the dog's chasing me." He said, "Listen, you asked for it. I gave you one. I'm ready. You want another one?" He said, "Yeah, just make me a dog. I won't ask you again." So he says, poof, he makes him a dog. Now he's walking around chasing the cats. Then a few weeks later, a wolf starts chasing the dog. And he runs and hides, and he sees the genie again and says, "Hey, Mr. Genie, I was a mouse, then you made me a cat. And I didn't like that because the dog's chasing me. Now a wolf's chasing me. Can you make me a wolf?" He says, look. "I'm going to make you back to a mouse, because if you're never happy with what you are, you're never going to be happy trying to be something else." God made all, go ahead. God made every single one of you to be something, and he made you to not be something else. I wish I could sing. Like, I don't pray all the time, but I pray, "Lord, I just want to sing like Luther Vandross, just like a year." Y'all know Luther? Anybody not know Luther Vandross? Anybody not know? Okay, you need to Google. Please. Not no Luther Vandross. I'm like, man, I want to sing like Luther. I, when I was a freshman in high school, I was a singer in a band. I was horrible. It was just a mistake. It was wrong. There was nothing right about it. I will never sing. God says, the only time I want you to sing is when you're doing worship, either in a crowd where no one can hear you or you're by yourself, okay? But don't do it in front of anybody, okay? Then you mess everybody up. You need to know that God made you to be something, to do something, and everything else you should not do. Some of you are in jobs that you should not be in. You're horrible. Anybody want to admit that right now? You're just like, "Hey, you're in a job, you're just, thank you. Quit. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, quit." Because everybody around you is upset. They're like, "I ain't there." But it's not a bad thing, because there's certain things you should not do, but there's certain things that if you did them, you couldn't wait to wake up in the morning. That's what you want to do. And if anything, God wants to do is give you clarity on what that is. Number five, Jesus said he would give you eternal life. John 6:47. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me will have everlasting life." Only God can give you eternal life. Here's what Jesus is saying. That's me. John 5:21, Jesus said, "The Father raises the dead and gives life to them, and I give life to whom I will." In a minute, we want to give you opportunity to give yourself life. You are the person holding the bird, but the bird is you. And you can make a decision, "I want to live. I want to have abundant life. I want to have eternal life. I want God to forgive me of my sin, and I'm going to walk with God." So if you're in the overflow room, if you're out in the street, wherever, watching online, all the campuses, in a minute we're going to pray, and you're going to have opportunity to say a very simple prayer, simple as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. The Bible says everyone, all of us are sinners. B, believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. And C, confess your sin, and you will be saved. So we're gonna ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes in all the campuses, overflow rooms. And I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about how much God loves you and the fact that He knows everything. Not even death could hold Him down. So your problems can't hold Him down. Your fears are small to Him. He can overcome any situation in your life. He just needs your permission. He loves you so much, He has given you the freedom to say no to Him. That's why we are accountable for our decisions, because we make them on our own. But He is also so loving that He died on the cross to give you opportunity to give your life to Him. And that is an opportunity we're giving you right now. It's as simple as ABC. To admit that you're a sinner, the Bible says everyone is a sinner. To believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, that's why we're here today, because He died and He rose. It's a historical fact, those things happen. And then to confess Jesus as your Savior, say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. So if you would like to do that, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must believe these things to be true by faith. So in the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner and that the penalty of my sin is death. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. Jesus, I confess my sin to you. Please forgive me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be born again. I surrender my life to you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're one of the overflow rooms, I'm going to ask you to stand there as well. And by standing, you are declaring that you are giving your life to Christ, that you are walking away from your old life as though walking out of a tomb like Lazarus. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'm going to be ashamed of you. So if this is your first time asking Christ to be your Savior, on the count of three, stand to your feet. One, two, three.